A peer-reviewed study published last Friday documented 55 undeclared chemical elements which have been detected in the COVID gene therapy technology from brands Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, CanSino, Sinopharm, and Sputnik V, including several toxic elements such as aluminum, titanium, arsenic, lead, and uranium. The researchers have deduced that the COVID gene therapy technology injections are part of a secret worldwide nanotechnological experimentation program. These crimes against humanity have still gone unanswered, and we do not know what the intended outcome of it all was. So at this point, we can only guess. Optogenetics was selected as Method of the Year in 2010 by Nature Video.
Scientists can switch on cells in this mouse's brain simply by switching on a light. The light activates nerve cells, which make the animal walk in circles. This neat trick is also a powerful new tool. Using light to control the behavior of cells is teaching us about everything from how we wake up to how we learn. This is optogenetics. It's the ability to target specific neurons in living, moving animals that makes this technique so powerful. In this fly, a different light-sensitive system is used to target just 2 out of 200,000 neurons. These neurons govern an escape response, the reflex that makes the fly flee as you move in to swat it. Here, a flash of light activates the neurons, making the fly jump and spread its wings. It can't take off because it's trapped in a petri dish. These mouse heart cells have been engineered to beat in time to pulses of light.
In optogenetics, what we're doing is we're putting molecules that convert light into electricity into neurons, the cells of the brain. Then when we shine light on those neurons, light gets converted into electricity and allows us to turn on or off those cells. The goal here is to find a way to control the electrical activity in some cells and not others in the network. To do that, we had to turn to the natural world. It turns out that throughout all the kingdoms of life, in plants and funguses and bacteria and so on, you can find photosynthetic or photosensory molecules that convert light into electricity. So we borrow these molecules from nature, and then using tricks from the field of gene therapy, we can put them into neurons. Now, these molecules can convert light to electricity, and they do it just in the neurons that we want to control, and not all their neighbors. So we can deliver these molecules to some cells and not others, and then we shine light on the network, we can turn on or off that subset of the cells. If we can turn on or off a set of cells that's embedded within this dense matrix, we can figure out how do they contribute to a behavior. For example, if we can turn on a set of cells, we can figure out what kinds of behaviors can it initiate. If we can turn off a set of cells, then we can delete it momentarily and figure out what it's necessary for. So far, optogenetics has had a lot of impact in the scientific world, but it hasn't been used in any human patients yet. There are a couple reasons why. One is that it requires a gene therapy to deliver the gene that encodes for these light-activated molecules into the body. Currently in the U.S., there are no FDA-approved gene therapies.
That was the problem 10 years ago, but the COVID-19 pandemic gave these mad scientists an excuse to inject billions of humans with a mysterious cocktail of nanotech. And researchers at La Quinta Columna have pointed out the possible relationship between the injections and the invisible light, which is constantly flashing from our mobile phones. We are told that this is for facial recognition, but how can we trust the official narrative when it's coming from transhumanist mass murderers? Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right, folks, find and share that latest Reese report at band.video and infowars.com. It's an InfoWars exclusive, optogenetics and the secret worldwide nanotech experiment. And we'll be talking a little bit about those heartless globalists and their attempts to turn us all into biological robots. We have some interesting comments from Yuval Noah Harari. But of course, politics first. Stay with us. Daily Dispatch on the other side.
As you know, I am fighting the deep state to keep my broadcast on air. But if you simply support my sponsors, we will stay on the air one way or another. So I thank you for your past support. But I try to make it easy for you to support our sponsors by bringing you the very best products. This product, Optimal Human, is simply game-changing. Now, as you know, green superfoods for decades have been all the rage because they really work and because you absorb things better in the gut. And there's a lot of great ones out there. But ladies and gentlemen, Optimal Human has the highest quality ingredients, 90-plus ingredients. It does amazing things. I've been taking it for months, and I want you to get it. And understand this, its leading competitor is amazing, and I've been using it and love it. But this has the same ingredients and even more, and is stronger, and it's the same serving amount, but for a lower price. So the leading competitor, everybody knows their name. It starts with A and ends with G. This is amazing. Go to the alexjonesstore.com and get Optimal Human.
It's Friday, October 18th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this morning from Austin, Texas. It is Friday, the 18th of October. We have a lot to talk about. I'll be taking your calls in the second hour. I'll be joined by Matt Baker in the third hour, talk about a bombshell new documentary with a whole bunch of InfoWars alumni, friends of the show, put together. Very excited to talk to him. Very excited to talk to you. Very excited to watch Donald Trump roast the hell out of everybody right to their faces at the Al Smith dinner last night. We got a lot of clips from that, which is perfect because we try to always keep it light on Fridays, or at least in the beginning of the show. There's a comedy clip or something, we like to start lead off with that. And in this case, we have like 12 of them, all from Trump, and they're amazing. They're amazing. They're everything you want them to be. And a lot of other videos as well to show you, as we are going to, of course, talk about domestic politics and global politics and what is above global politics, which is the churning engine that drives so many decisions, the globalism and the long-term plans to live forever and rule over a slave race of biological robots. That's the plan, and we're going to break it down for you and talk about how to defeat it, resist with all of your might. But first, we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 18th of October, 2024. Yahya Sinwar, Hamas chief, has been killed in an Israeli raid. The head of Hamas and architect of the Palestinian group's October 7th, 2023 terrorist rampage across southern Israel was killed in a raid in the Gaza Strip, Israel said Thursday. The death put an immediate and emphatic end to the bloody career of the Palestinian radical movement's best-known figure. But it also raised fresh questions about the which direction the government of Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will take after the security triumph. I have headlines that say the exact opposite to one another. Some headlines saying this will hasten the end of the war, but then you have Benjamin Netanyahu saying, actually, I'm going to be worse. Actually, I'm going to just get worse from now on. So hard to negotiate hostage exchanges when you keep killing the people you're negotiating with, but we'll get back to that in just a second. Meanwhile, Ukraine issues a nuclear ultimatum to NATO. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky delivered an ultimatum to NATO, warning that his country may pursue nuclear weapons if it's not granted membership in the alliance, which is ballsy. You got to give him that. It's certainly ballsy. Contemptuous might be another word for it. The pledge came during a conversation with former President U.S. President Donald Trump. Last September, Zelensky said he told Trump that Ukraine would either join some kind of alliance or be forced to pursue nuclear weapons, adding that he knew of no stronger option than NATO. I believe Trump heard me and said it was a fair argument, Zelensky said. Oh, I'm sure he said that. No, I'm sure that's what he said. What he was thinking might have been something else. I can imagine what Trump was thinking when the little gremlin from Ukraine threatened him with nuclear research. I can only imagine. You try it, little man. Just the chutzpah. You gotta be astonished at it. I was going to say admire, but I'm not going to say admire. Meanwhile, Also, in the Ukraine-Russia war front, there's been a lot of talk about North Korean troops being deployed to Russia. There was some doubt about that, but now the Seoul, South Korea spy agency has released satellite images showing North Korean troops deploying to Russia, several thousand of them. Also, earlier this week, North Korea blew up the bridges that link North and South Korea, a move that would seem to come ahead of some sort of major military conflict. So things definitely heating up there in Eastern Europe and Asia. Meanwhile, in America, we have this. FBI quietly revises violent crime statistics. When the FBI originally released the final crime data for 2022 in September 2023, it reported that the nation's violent crime rate fell by 2.1%. This quickly became and remains a Democratic Party talking point to counter Donald Trump's claim of soaring crime. But the FBI has quietly revised those numbers, releasing new data that shows violent crime increased in 2022 by 4.5%. The new data includes thousands of more rapes, murders, robberies, and aggravated assaults. The Bureau, which has been at the center of partisan storms, made no mention of these revisions in its September 2024 press release. No, they did it quietly. They didn't want to mention it. They didn't want to come out and admit that they lied about crime, not just not rising as high as it was, but they said it was falling when it was, in fact, rising by nearly 5%, which is unbelievable, like really incredible, because that's a year-over-year rise. And if you remember, the major spike in violent crime came at the end of 2020 and into 2021. So kind of like inflation, when they say inflation has reduced, what they mean is that previously inflation was rising at an all-time high rate, and the rate of its rise has decreased. It's still going up. It just isn't going up as steeply as it used to. And so they say it's down. That's a lie. It's just a lie. It's the same thing with crime statistics, where you have this massive, unbelievable, monumental spike following the Black Lives Matter orgy of violence. And then if it were to go down a little bit, it's not that it is, you know, it's not that crime is decreasing. It's just that it's not as high as it was last year, where it spiked to historic high levels. But actually, that's not even true. It actually went up from that. It actually spiked massively in 2020, even higher in 2021, and apparently even higher in 2022. But then again, you'd know that if you just looked around and thought about it for yourself. But if, in case you needed the FBI's to provide you statistics to verify the reality that you can observe, then there they are. And finally, we have this. Trump insults Harris in jibe-filled speech, his campaign mulls town hall with Nikki Haley. These are the U.S. election live updates from The Guardian. And of course, they're very mad that Trump insulted Harris in this jibe-filled speech at a Catholic charity dinner. But it's called a roast. It's called a roast. He was roasting everyone, including Kamala Harris. They say the jokes were crude, but I don't know. Maybe they're. This is The Guardian. It's a UK thing. Maybe they're not aware of like what the Al Smith dinner is. This is what it is. It's a big roast. It's a bipartisan affair. It's Catholics in New York come together and provide an opportunity for the presidential candidates to have a little fun on the campaign trail, you know, just poke each other a little bit. It's very fun. Of course, things changed in 2016 when Donald Trump used the event to just absolutely abolish Hillary Clinton in the most hilarious way possible. And so this year, Kamala Harris decided to sit it out. It was the first time in a very long time that anybody had sat out this dinner, and it falls in line with Kamala Harris's general, well, everything about her, right? Her inability to do anything on the campaign trail, her desire to hide desperately from any media appearances, but also the underlying contempt for religious people, especially Catholics, who this dinner represents and honors. So she missed out. She missed out. Instead, she sent in the cringe. I didn't even grab it. I didn't even pull the video in that Kamala Harris sent in, because I'm not going to subject you fine folks to that. I'm not about to broadcast that trash, whatever it was. I sound mad about it. I'm not mad about it. It was just very bad. It was just very cringy and lame. And she resurrects some SNL character from like 40 years ago. I mean, that's crazy. I grew up with, you know, the SNL of Adam Sandler and Norm Macdonald. But this character was even before my time and was cringy and played out when I was 10. It just shows you how disconnected from anything popular or trending or good. Like, what is this? It's very weird. It'd be like, I don't even know. It'd be like Trump coming out with a, I don't know, like the Scooby-Doo characters or something. It's just, it's beyond played out. It's beyond cringy. And it's very carefully designed to trigger nostalgia, childless boomers. Yeah, I'm not going to subject you to it. I'm going to keep the audio down on that one, folks. That's your Daily Dispatch. Now let's laugh at the Democrats, courtesy of comedian-in-chief Donald Trump. Say what you want about Donald Trump. He is the funniest president there has ever been. He is significantly funnier than many common, you know, popular stand-up comedians these days. And he really held nothing back. The Al Smith dinner last night. I have a lot of clips from this, but both the crew and I were both gathering clips. So there might be some repeats here. The good news is these jokes are so funny, we might just want to play them twice on purpose. But let's begin with, oh my God, there's so many good ones. There's so many good ones. Let's start with clip number 6 here. It's Trump going after Biden.
Joe has almost disappeared from view. The only way he could be seen less as if he had a show on CNN. They had nothing. They've got nothing. Fake news, right? Fake.
Fake news. And the whole time, if you're a radio listener and you haven't seen this, the whole time Trump is delivering jokes, Chuck Schumer is sitting like a grim-faced gargoyle next to him. Very, very clear distinction between the spirits of these two people. And Trump mocked Chuck Schumer for his face last night. We'll go now to clip number 8. Here is Trump having a little fun with his good friend, the gargoyle, Chuck Schumer.
Coming in very, very strong a certain way. I won't tell you what way that is, but Chuck Schumer is here looking very glum. Doesn't it look glum? It looks glum. But look on the bright side, Chuck, considering how woke your party has become, if Kamala loses, you still have a chance to become the first woman president.
That is such a good joke. Honestly, that is like a fantastic. Do you think Trump wrote that? Like, who do you think wrote Trump's jokes? Because that is a very good joke. Like, I wonder if when he was on with like Andrew Schultz, like, I wonder if Shane Gillis, like, I wonder if it's Shane Gillis and Andrew Schultz and who's the Southern guy? I'm blanking on his name right now. That Trump went on his podcast with Theo Vaughn. Because that is such a solid joke. And shame. I say shame on the likes of Jim Gaffigan, who could sit next to, I mean, Chuck Schumer, you expect that. Jim Gaffigan sitting there and he doesn't laugh at that joke. Pathetic. Pathetic. Because that is a damn good joke. It also makes you picture Chuck Schumer in a dress, which is another layer of funny. I can just see it. I'm very proud to be the first woman president. This is a historic day. I have shattered the glass ceiling. And Hillary Clinton's there like, I mean, that is solid. That is a solid joke. I don't care who you are. For the fact it's coming from a presidential candidate at a political meeting, beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And that was him going light. That was him going very easy on old Chucky there. He did not spare the rod for the likes of Doug Imhoff or Kamala Harris. Let's go now to clip number 10. Here is Trump hinting at a very disturbing story about Kamala Harris's wife. Let's watch.
A major issue in this race is child care, and Kamala has put forward a concept of a plan. A lot of people don't like it. The only piece of advice I would have for her in the event that she wins would be not to let her husband Doug anywhere near the nannies. Just keep them away. That's a nasty one. That's nasty.
Trump calls his own joke nasty. In case you don't know, Kamala Harris's husband, Doug, during his previous marriage, slept with and impregnated their nanny. Because he's a bad person, because he's spiritually bad and evil.
Didn't he also slap his wife so hard it spun her around?
Well, now hold on, Matt. That was an old girlfriend, but yes, that did happen.
Gotcha.
Now,
okay. Sorry. Just.
But let's be clear. He did that in public, in front of other people. So we can only guess at what he does behind closed doors. Because, I mean, that's wild. To slap a woman. That's pretty crazy. To do it in public where everybody can see you? Well, that's a whole nother level. That's not very second gentlemanly to me. Trump, of course, mocking himself a little bit. He's never one to shy away from a little mocking of himself. Let's go now to clip number 11.
Well, I better wrap up because Mayor Adams told me earlier that I needed to make this one very quick, especially the city has reserved this room for a large group of illegal aliens coming in from Texas. That's right. They've reserved many rooms, a lot of rooms, too many rooms.
Too many rooms. There's too many rooms. God, he really is funny. This is what I know. How can you not like this guy? Chuck, how can you not like Donald Trump? Can you imagine? Be thankful, everybody. On this Friday morning, I hope we're all thankful that we are truly the joy campaign. That you've got Kamala Harris, who for months has pushed the concept of joy, and we're the happiness campaign. Meanwhile, every behind-the-scenes story, and I have some new accounts today from what happened after her interview with Bret Baier. It's the same as Joe Biden, right? It's all joy and smiles until you slightly contradict them. Until you, you know, moderately disagree with them, and then just instantly the facade falls, and you can just screeching and, you know, barely contained rage. It's all fake. It's all fake. All the joy is fake. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, actually hilarious, and you can thank your lucky stars that you can appreciate it, because what a pathetic, boring life it would be if you're sitting there seething while Donald Trump is making some of the best jokes we've ever heard on a campaign trail or comedy special, for that matter. He goes so hard on something. I'm saving the best clip for last, but let's go to clip 13 now. This is Trump talking about Governor Walz.
I'd like to thank our MC this evening, Jim Gaffigan. Most recently, Jim has been playing Tim Walz on Saturday Night Live. And that'll be a very short gig, I hope, Jim. But it was fun while it lasted, wasn't it? Let's see how that lasts. It better be quick. We don't want him, and I'm not going to say anymore. But unfortunately, Governor Walz isn't here himself, but don't worry, he'll say that he was. He's going to say he was.
Finally, if you're watching Jim Gaffigan there on the TV, like, they're really trying hard not to laugh. But it's so funny. I mean, you got to laugh. I mean, that, again, who wrote his jokes? I really want to know. Who do y'all think it was? Shane Gillis? I think it was Theo Vaughn? You think he wrote these himself? I don't think he wrote these himself. Yeah, definitely not, the crew says. I mean, he definitely didn't write it, but what do you think, his speechwriter wrote it? Does he have somebody that funny writing his speeches? I'm amazed at how funny these jokes were. Because, like, typically in these things, it's like you cringe before they even start. You got a politician that's going to try to be funny, and you just go, okay, we're all going to smile and kind of laugh along, and they're going to say cheesy, you know, inoffensive jokes that we're all going to pretend are funny. And it's just, you know, any of the correspondence dinners and they're just blech, right? And then Trump gets up and just slays. And I don't know, folks, if you've never tried to write a joke, try to write one and you'll get an appreciation of what we just heard. But man, couple people from Fox. Greg Gutfeld, probably. I'd be surprised, because the Fox comedy shows are, well, they're not that funny. Let's just say that. They're not as funny as Trump was, but I'd be, maybe they saved all their golden material for him. This is the joke of the night here, clip number 12. This is, again, just, I cannot get over the sophistication of this joke. This is the type of joke that a comedian would have to work out for like a month before finally getting the structure right. It is a real masterclass in joke writing. Clip number 12, here's Trump talking about white dudes for Kamala.
There's a group called White Dudes for Harris. Have you seen this? White Dudes for Harris. Anybody know it? Are some of you here? White Dudes for Harris doesn't sound like it. But I'm not worried about them at all, because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me. Every one of those people is voting for me.
I'm telling you that you can watch Chuck Schumer just grimacing, you know, like a, not a, like a gargoyle, right? Like a, some sort of, I mean, look at the penguin from Batman. But really the most interesting person to watch is Jim Gaffigan. He's trying not to laugh in the beginning, and by the end, he's cracking up. And you can see in that one, yeah, again, he's a professional comedian. He has been for 40 years. And after that joke, you can see him go, damn. Like, you can see him nod and just go, that was a good one. I got to give him that one. Yeah, Trump wins people over if you just give him a chance. And hey, I'm not even mocking Jim Gaffigan. Jim Gaffigan also did a great job last night. Let's go now to clip number 5. Here's Jim Gaffigan, who was the master of ceremonies last night at the Al Smith dinner.
You know, this event has been referred to as the Catholic Met Gala. 22% of Americans identify as Catholic. Catholics will be a key demographic in every battleground state. I'm sorry, why is Vice President Harris not here?
Because she hates Catholics.
I mean, consider the abortion this. Thing. This is a room full of Catholics and Jews in New York City. This is a layup for the Democratic nominee. I mean, in her defense, I mean, she did find time to appear on The View, Howard Stern, Colbert, and the longtime staple of campaigning, the Call Her Daddy podcast.
Well, Cole. Here's Jim Gaffigan losing all of his future work on Netflix.
The Democrats have been telling us Trump's re-election is a threat to democracy. In fact, they were so concerned of this threat, they staged a coup, ousted their democratically elected incumbent, and installed Kamala Harris. In other words, all her dreams have come true. Really? It really makes you consider the power of prayer, right, Cardinal? Sometimes prayers take 3.5 years and a George Clooney op-ed.
Yeah. I think the term is boom, roasted. We'll be right back.
History is happening now. We are just weeks away from the most important election, not just in our lifetimes, but in history. And the EU is now trying to take over X and Elon Musk's other companies for, quote, allowing free speech. The Democratic Party has filed in federal court to take my name and Real Alex Jones on X. InfoWars could be shut down as early as November 13th. But regardless, I am going to continue fighting on. I'll never surrender. If I'm homeless on the side of the road, I'll be preaching about the New World Order and exposing the whole globalist agenda and trying to stop World War III and the pedophile rings and everything that we've been exposing for so long. And now the Pentagon comes out under orders from whoever's in control of the White House. It's been a coup, as you know, and says, yeah, we're preparing for martial law and for killing Americans. Then they blame Trump and say he's planning that. Everything I've talked about, unfortunately, has now come true because the globalists made good on their promises decades ago to bring in this tyranny. But for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction in Newtonian physics. There's a giant awakening happening. Everybody sees it. Populists are getting elected around the world.
The tyrants are in trouble. They know the initiative has turned against them. So it's critical online to engage in free speech and to support InfoWars, but it's also critical in the third dimension on the street to exercise your free speech. So our great sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, no matter what happens to InfoWars, is going to ensure that I stay on air and that if we get enough funds, the crew continues on, the other shows, our investigators, the special reports, everything that reach tens of millions of people a day. So I'm going to do my job. I'm humbly asking you to do yours, keep spreading the word, pray for the operation, and support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. There are so many new great t-shirts made by one of the top patron designers out there, Bigley, at thealexjonesstore.com. This one, Rebellion to Tyrants is Obedience to God. It's got the new backup site that's being built out, realalexjones.com, and so much more. Let me show you some of the other new shirts that just came in. Now the FDA came out a month ago and said fluoride does lower your IQ and does cause cancer and doesn't help your teeth. So we brought back the classic, there's poison in the tap water. Now the public's ready to be awakened. It's being removed all over the country. Get the shirt, thealexjonesstore.com, and save some lives. We've got this limited edition election bad boy. I'm with the outlaw and the hillbilly at thealexjonesstore.com. Limited edition fentanyl the dragon. Hello, stupid Americans. If you want to meet like-minded people and trigger tyrants, the I Love Alex Jones shirt will surely do it. Many of these designs come from fan requests, like this one, the Alex Jones Was Right jar. I've just shown you a few of the amazing designs at thealexjonesstore.com. We're adding new ones all the time. So check out the great designs, keep the broadcast on the air, and promote freedom in America and worldwide. Thank you all for your support. Now please go to thealexjonesstore.com. Irish sea moss has been all the rage in the last 5 years because when folks started discovering it, it took the country and the world by storm because of the incredible effects it has. It's probably the greatest superfood out there, full of organic-based iodine and a whole bunch of vitamins and minerals. And we've got the gummies and the capsules now in stock at thealexjonesstore.com that are some of the strongest and best out there. Up to 55% off when you get three bottles, over 40% off when you get two bottles, 40% off when you get one bottle, and it's in stock right now, Ultimate Sea Moss, at our great sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, check out the hundreds of designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, and hoodies. And regardless what happens to InfoWars here in the next 28 days, ladies and gentlemen, your support of our sponsor will make sure I am able to stay on air. So please take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Get the Ultimate Sea Moss gummies and capsules, as well as other amazing supplements and Patriot apparel. God bless you. Now, thanks for the support. I don't fight tyranny because I hate the tyrants. Oh, I do hate them. I do it because I love the people behind me I'm defending. I don't know how all this is going to end, but if you want to fight, you better believe you got one. I've been holding back my real capabilities. I'm most ashamed of it. It's a little scary. I have decided and am just now accessing the genetic memory codes to release my full potential against the New World Order. Good luck, globalist. Because if you thought Alex Jones was a problem before, I want you to throw everything you've got at. Whatever you think it is you need to do.
Yes, folks, Alex Jones is evolving in real time. TheAlexJonesStore.com, AlexJones.network, at AJN Live. It's all begun. It has begun. I do hope you can support us in whatever comes next. Please do go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. Get yourself some of the incredible t-shirts. It could be last run of some of these. You also have things like Optimal Human, absolutely incredible. You've got the sea moss capsules, extremely powerful. I know those are selling like hotcakes, so make sure to get those while they're still in stock. You can try them now for 55% off. That's the Ultimate Sea Moss Bladder Rack and Burdock Root Capsules. Extremely powerful source of naturally occurring iodine. It's a natural detoxicant with a plethora of positive effects. Try it now by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Your one-stop shop for freedom. All right, folks, we got a lot of stuff to talk about here, and I'm going to take your calls in the second hour. Matt Baker joining us in the third. Should we stick with politics here for a second? Because you've got stories like this. Harris campaign shifts strategy as anxiety rises over Trump gains. Yes, the illusion is shedding away, and the desiccated husk is being revealed. It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, except if you pull back the curtain, it's just a scared, not very intelligent, racially ambiguous woman named Kamala Harris, who uses a friend pointed this out to me, and it's so true. She always sounds like she's about to cry. She always, her voice always has this tremor, this timbre of wavering on the edge of weeping. And we were speculating, do you think that's trained? Do you think that's on purpose? Because what ends up happening is it just means that anybody who talks to her in any way that is not submissive looks like they're bullying some poor woman that's about to cry. But I don't know. We were trying to figure out what it is exactly about her voice that is so off-putting. But the Harris campaign is shifting strategy over the Trump gains that have been made, which is interesting. What are the strategies that they're employing, and how can they be shifted? Going back to the beginning, all of their strategies have backfired horrendously. Her first strategy in her cynical, power-mad drive to the top was to lie about the state of Joe Biden. Now, this was a strategic move for Harris because if the truth about Biden's mental incapacity had been made clear earlier, then they would have had a primary and Harris wouldn't have stood a chance. She would have been ousted immediately, just like she was during the 2020 primaries. So she had to maintain the lie for long enough that it was no longer possible to do a primary and then, you know, pull out the knife and stab your boss in the back. That was the first strategy, which it paid off, right? It succeeded. She was able to be appointed presidential candidate without having to justify it or compete with anybody else. So that went well, but it also left her fumbling and embarrassing herself when asked the question, why did you not tell anybody about Joe Biden being mentally incapacitated? She can't sit there and go, well, because I had to wait until it was too late to do the primary so I could take his job. She can't say that, but that was the reason. So that backfired horrendously. Then, you know, her strategy was to just not do any public appearances and only occasionally do rallies where she said the same thing over and over and basically fabricating or just creating the illusion of popular support on TikTok. That was sort of their first and primary presidential candidacy strategy, was pay tens of thousands of dollars to teenagers on the dancing app to pretend to support Kamala Harris. And that tricked a lot of people into thinking that her support was real and widespread and legitimate. But that can only go on so long. The idea is that fake grassroots astroturfing strategy would then sort of become real as more people would pick it up. But nobody's picking it up if they're not getting paid. So that didn't really work out either. One strategy was to just avoid the media at all and do no interviews. That started becoming a problem, so she had to do them. But then that made it worse. Like, there's nothing about her can be salvaged. Like, there's nothing here. There's no strategy that's like, oh, if only they'd done it like this. No, nothing's going to work. Nothing's going to work, lady, because you're a bad candidate. So nothing's going to work, right? If you... You know, it just doesn't matter how nice the presentation is if the food on the plate was already eaten, right? And then reproduce. What I'm saying is, you know, you can have, if you have a unbelievably tasty meatloaf, which is Donald Trump in this allegory. In the allegory, Donald Trump is the incredibly tasty meatloaf, And it doesn't matter how it's packaged. It's good. You can just show up at the potluck with your plastic reused spaghetti sauce stained Tupperware, and it's going to be a hit because it's delicious and amazing. Or you can have Kamala Harris, which is like a 5-star Michelin sushi restaurant dressed up a bowel movement on a plate. And it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how nice the surroundings are. It doesn't matter how nice the plate is and the plating of the dish. The dish is trash. So that's the problem. That's the problem. And dressing it up isn't going to solve it. And you can't just stay away because you have to be in public to run a campaign, but you can't do interviews because you embarrass yourself every time. So it's a damned if they do, damned if they don't, because they're damned. They're just damned in general. Vice President Kamala Harris is shifting her campaign strategy to win over more men and Republicans and sharpening her attacks on Donald Trump as Democratic anxieties rise over the polls, making her... Okay, see, I should have just read the article. No, I didn't realize. I should have realized that the shift in her strategy is to double down, doing exactly the same thing she's been doing the whole time. Like, what has she been doing since the beginning of her appointment as presidential candidate? She has endlessly, relentlessly, and fruitlessly attacked Donald Trump. That doesn't work. So now she's sharpening those attacks. She's upping those attacks. Okay. So she really is a Democratic nominee. She really is a good representation of the Democrats, where your bad strategies don't work, and so your solution is to do them more and harder. Amazing. And of course, from the beginning, the first campaign event Kamala Harris did was White Dudes for Kamala, an obvious attempt to try to get men and white men, i.e. Republicans, over to her side. So this is what I'm talking about. There's no shifting of strategy. There's no strategy that's going to work. The things she's been doing haven't been working, and so she's just doing that more. So it's not going to work more. It's going to work less now, I guess. The Democratic nominee is in a statistical dead heat in crucial states with Trump, the Republican former president, according to public and internal campaign polls cited by Democratic sources, sparking a round of finger-pointing and second-guessing from some corners. Finger-pointing and second-guessing. I'm telling you, they really are good Democrats. You got to give them that. You got to give them that. The Harris campaign can embody the Democratic character in a way like nothing else ever has. Bad ideas are doubled down on, and when they still continue to not work, no self-reflection is even remotely employed. Instead, it's finger-pointing and sniping and backstabbing because they're all bad people. Have we said that yet? Have I made that clear yet, that these are bad people with bad ideas? It's a frustrating moment for a whirlwind campaign that opened with a huge jump in enthusiasm and cash when she replaced President Joe Biden in July. Yeah, big fake enthusiasm. Big fake nonsense, non-existent, media fabricated enthusiasm and money laundered through Act Blue. She was widely hailed as the winner of her only debate with Trump. Yeah, by people who are lying. This is always going to be a tight race. That doesn't mean we're not losing sleep over it, said a senior Democratic aide, reflecting what interviews with donors, aides, and advisors show is the mood at the White House and the Wilmington, Delaware-based campaign headquarters. After weeks of focusing on policy and trying to define herself on the national stage, Harris is going back to her prosecutorial posture of July, an advisor said, hoping to demonstrate strength to voters who might be attracted to Trump's strongman image. How bad are these people at this? How do you get to the top of the political pile with this type of strategy? Well, Trump is really, he's really strong. People see him as very masculine and very aggressive. And there's no way we're going to beat him on that front. So what we need to do is try to beat him on that front. What we need to do is take the strongest aspect of our enemy and then try to you know, fabricate and mimic a facsimile of that. No, you have to stop now. You have to stop now. You have to really think about what you're doing, you morons. But no, actually, keep it up. Sorry, let me think strategically here. If I'm talking to the Democrats, you're doing great. You're doing amazing. Keep it up. Everything that you're doing so far, double down. Definitely do that. Definitely do that. Definitely go toe-to-toe with Donald Trump on who is the stronger candidate. Who's the better strongman? I think that's a winning strategy, you absolute morons. Not morons. Well, yes, morons, but more like petulant, evil little children. Kim.com posted this. It's from the Reddit, R America. Kamala, after last night's interview with Brett Baier, my friend is in the camera crew for last night's interview with Brett Baier and Baier and Kamala Harris. Kamala clearly struggled, as many people have pointed out. After the interview concluded, she apparently refused to shake Brett's hand and called him dirty and then said, "You're just another lousy MAGA nut job." Brett just laughed. Then she started to tear up and said, "We can edit this, right? Right?" And then she went to her team and said, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, it's over." At least she knew she messed up. I don't know if this is true or not. And I hope it is. But I like to think that it is. And it probably is true. If you think about it, I mean, what, you think she got up and was like, "Thank you so much, Brett. No, you were tough, but, you know, hey, I'm a presidential candidate, and that's what it's," you know. No. She cried. No, she cried for sure. 100%. That is, she cried. Meanwhile, we have this from Post Millennial. Now, I should have grabbed the video. Maybe the crew can find it quickly, but it's kind of an obscure one. It's the FBI and Merrick Garland and a number of other DOJ treasonous future inmates talking about the threats to election workers and how evil MAGA Republicans, out of just some senseless hatred of the concept of democracy, were threatening election workers. For some reason, it makes no sense, but that's what they were saying. That was the paradigm they were trying to establish in people's minds, that Trump supporters, in their, again, just senseless and cult-like hatred of the concept of democracy, total nonsense, were just like going to attack poll workers or something. Again, total nonsense, total obvious fabrication with an obvious intent, right? The intent is to intimidate Trump supporters out of being election observers, or to provide the FBI some fraudulent justification for going after people who would attempt to prevent fraud that they see occurring in the 2024 election. That was the obvious point of that. And just like the story that we read yesterday about veterans being terrorists and how they just keep saying it, even though there's no evidence, even though there aren't any attacks, they just keep saying it. Because they can, I guess. Similar thing happened here, where they're just like, this year there are more threats to our election workers than there have ever been in the past. It's like, really? Have any of them been hurt? Nope. Any attacks actually made? Nope. Any legitimate threats to specific targets? Nope. Okay, so the threats you're talking about are people, you know, saying like, you better not cheat in the election, things like that, I'm sure. Well, foolish me, silly me, of course there were pieces of evidence showing that. Of course there have been threats against poll workers. Where do you think they're coming from? Where do you think the real threat to our democracy is coming from? If you said it might be the black-clad communists who repeatedly say, "I hate America" in public on microphones, you would be right. And anonymous letters threatening violence have been mailed to Trump supporters in Pennsylvania. Postmillennial has learned that some voters in the Philadelphia area said they have received threatening letters sent through UPS, or USPS, the postal service, using a facsimile of a Trump campaign letterhead. The printed letters begin with the salutation, "Dear neighbor," before briefly mentioning reasons not to vote for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, but then dive headlong into outright lies. The writer claims, quote, "We know where you live. You are in the database. There's no knowing what may happen, and your family may have been impacted. Your cat may get shot." It's the Haitians. This letter came from the Haitians. The letter initially claimed to be a quick note of thanks for being engaged in the election and for participation in the process, then claims to be writing with a concern about the level of political violence in our country during this election year, as well as threats to our democracy and freedoms. It asks the reader to, quote, "take a close look at the truth, facts, and future for a better America where we can all live in harmony together." So it really is, just like we were just talking about the Kamala Harris campaign being a great example, sample, illustration of the mindset of the Democrats, this is also another very good sample where it starts off with obviously fraudulent statements that sound good, but they don't believe about being engaged in the election. We thank you so much for participating in the such, it's so important, our democracy. We all want to live in harmony together. Your candidate is a felon, rapist, desecrator, an immoral, flawed man. He's a major reason violence is up. Remember January 6th or Charlottesville? By supporting him, you are declaring your public support for a disregard of the law, civil discourse, and unity. You're indicating your hatred of minorities, immigrants, foreigners, women, education, and the rights of your fellow citizens, the rights of women to make decisions over their own health care needs. Oh, yes, and a hatred for Taylor Swift, who has contributed nothing but joy to the world. You can, like, hear them crying while they're typing this, right? You can see the tear stains on the pages. We're the good guys. We're the good guys, and you're the bad guys. It's great. This is amazing. Do we even know? Is this a fraudulent letter, or is this just actually the Democrats? Like, this just straight up sounds like a Democratic campaign letter. Should your candidate win, the consequences will be staggering. The country will continue to be divided. The economy will falter, and recession will accelerate. The deficit ballooned. You know, all the things that happened in the last 3 years, it's going to happen harder under yours. It's just awful. It's just all these people. They're all just awful. We look forward to visiting in the future. So the leftists are literally sending out explicit threats to Trump supporters using all of the same rhetoric that every Democrat uses every time they're on mainstream media. I mean, seriously, is this sound any different than an official Democratic talking point? I mean, they make the threats a little bit more obvious, but not really. It's amazing. That really is amazing. The letter starts off, we are writing with concern about the level of political violence in this country. I mean, this is amazing, actually. This is actually amazing how accurate this is to the Democratic mindset. We have that Merrick Garland clip. Well, this, you know, when I originally read this, I was under the impression that these letters were sent to the election workers. But yeah, let's go ahead and play that because, again, you'll hear in this clip with Merrick Garland and Chris Wray, the director of the FBI, I mean, they're clearly framing this as if it's those anti-democratic Trump, those no good Trump supporters. Well, I bet there's a way that it's described in here. You know, the candidate who's a felon, a rapist, a desecrator, an immoral, flawed man, whose supporters just bring a bunch of hatred and they hate joy. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe this was written by Merrick Garland. Was this a Merrick Garland video? Because it could be a script of his. We're concerned. We're so concerned with the political violence. So vote correctly or you'll be getting a visit from us. Yeah, it's the official Democratic standpoint. It's their policy in black and white. Let's watch the clip now.
In a covert campaign to interfere and influence the outcome of our country's elections. As alleged in our court filings, President Vladimir Putin's inner circle, including Sergei Kirinikov, directed Russian public relations companies to promote disinformation and state-sponsored narratives as part of a program to influence the 2024 U.S. presidential election. An internal planning document created by the Kremlin states that as a goal of the campaign is securing Russia's preferred outcome in the election.
Oh, Russia, no.
The online infrastructure used by the Russian public relations company, known as the Social Design Agency, or SDA, and related actors, included what are sometimes referred to as cyber-squatted domains. These websites were designed to appear to American leaders as if they were major.
Don't they sound so professional and legitimate? You know, these guys, they're just patriots. You know, they just love freedom. And, you know, they're just letting you know that some social media company in Russia bought some domains. Okay, so they're taking it very seriously. They're going to get to the bottom of it. Meanwhile, Democrats are writing letters, sending them through the Postal Service to Trump supporters, saying, we're going to kill your cat because you vote for the rapist. Yeah, no, this letter, I think it's amazing, actually. I think it's exactly what the Democrats do. It's like actually the best example of who the Democrats are. Because they're simultaneously saying how concerned they are about violence while threatening violence. They're saying the candidate is an immoral and flawed man. And by supporting him, you're declaring your public support and disregard of law, civil discourse, and unity. Before they say, you tread on me at your peril, MF-er, your cat's going to get shot. Like, it's... I don't know who... This letter was anonymous, but I can describe the person that wrote it. The only honest Democrat. This is the Democratic soul on paper. I am having a hard time believing this is fake. Acting to save America from the GOP and existential threat. Yeah, it sums up everything they believe. But more importantly, we know where you live. You are in the database. In the dead of a cold winter's night, this year or next and beyond, there is no knowing what may happen. Your property, your family may be impacted. Your cat may get shot and more. And then they say, spend some time with your rabbi or pastor or whatever religion you follow and dig into the meaning of morality and reconcile the hate that you have, okay? Or we're going to kill your cat. This is the Democratic policy manifesto. That's what this is. We're so concerned about your well-being. Maybe you need to go talk to a priest, because if you vote for Trump, we're going to kill your cat. We know where you live, and you'll never be safe. Sincerely, patriotic citizen and a true American. Incredible. Meanwhile, by the way, 100 Labour Party staff from the UK, current and former people in the United Kingdom government, are going to the US over the next few weeks, heading to North Carolina, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. I have 10 spots available for anybody else to head. So yeah, there you go. The head of operations at the Labour Party of the UK advertising that they're sending 100 politicians to campaign in swing states for Kamala.
Very serious about the Russian social media profile who bought a domain name. That's the international interference.
At the AliceJonesStore.com, we don't just sell products in t-shirts. We empower patriots to stay strong in the fight for freedom. Our best-selling items like Ultimate CMOS and our amazing fundraiser t-shirts help keep Americans fighting for freedom outwardly and inwardly as they support the InfoWars broadcast and the Alex Jones broadcast as well.
Conspiracies are no longer conspiracies. They're truth.
We love the shirts. And not only that, I just wish more people would get wise. Elect Donald Trump, baby!
That's right. That's who I'm voting for. And I'm Hispanic.
We hear stories like this every day. Real Americans just like you reclaiming their freedom with our cutting-edge supplements and t-shirts available right now at thealicejonesstore.com.
Everyone, I wanted to recommend the AJ store. This is my first time buying. Obviously, it won't be my last. I'm going after the Alex Jones Was Right. That will be my next purchase. And the gummies. I really want those gummies.
At thealicejonesstore.com, we stand behind every product with rigorous testing and unparalleled quality. But don't just take our word for it. See what thousands of satisfied customers are saying and experience the benefits for yourself.
I stand for Alex Jones, the AJ Store, and all of us patriots. And God bless my new shirt, and God bless you all. America will rise again.
Head to thealicejonesstore.com today, read the reviews, and join the movement of informed, empowered patriots taking their health and style into their own hands. Don't wait. Stock up now because your freedom and future depend on it. Visit thealicejonesstore.com right now.
We're winning.